Okay.
Hey, hey. Don't know what's going on with my signal here in my hotel,
No
but that's how it
dead
is.
air. That was what we
Anyway,
learned
thank
earlier. No dead air.
hey there. You're watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. Happy May Day, International Workers' Day. It is Friday, May 1st, 2026. Please like, follow, and share the show. We're here Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, coming up at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Will be TMI show with myself and Manila Chan, except it'll be Robbie West filling in for Manila Chan. Manila Chan's recovering nicely from her surgery and giving birth, although, of course, newborn babies. You know, they're a lot of work. Anyway, good morning, JT. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. How's it going?
Pretty good. How did it go with you? How did it go without me yesterday?
It went fine.
Good,
Robbie
good.
had was a great stand-in, as always. We
Excellent.
ended up in a conversation on abortion, which kind of took the show
I
in a
heard
particular way.
about that.
Yeah. No, it went fine. No issues. No
Excellent.
issues.
All right. So I don't know how abortion wasn't even in the rundown, but I'm not going to ask. All right.
It
So
evolved.
or devolved. Anyway, I'm not watching it. You know, it's so funny. People are always like, "Oh, like, do you watch the show if you're not on it?" I'm like, "No, it's a vacay. I just don't." I've never read one of my old books ever. I've never look at my old car The only time I ever look at my old cartoons, if I'm going through them to pick them for a book or to, you know, I don't want to reread my own shit. I just don't want to do it. Anyway, so all right, let's get into what we got going on today. Jeffrey Epstein's purported suicide note has surfaced. You would think that, you know, something like of that import. With that much discussion, would not be left sitting around for 7 years and have the authorities say, "Oh, by the way, we have Jeffrey Epstein's suicide note." Suicide note. We'll talk about that. Pete Hegseth testified before Congress that Donald Trump doesn't have to actually comply with the War Powers Act, which requires presidents to go to Congress to get authorization to use military force within 60 days of the beginning of hostilities, because, you know, there's a ceasefire and, you know, although that's not in the, you know, War Powers Act. But then there's Trump has issued an executive order that expands access to for people who don't have 401ks or defined benefit retirement plans. So we can talk about like the retirement crisis in the United States as a 62-year-old. I'm interested in this subject a lot. And today is May Day. So there's kind of there's a sort of there's going to be protests across the country calling for people to boycott work, school, and shopping. This is International Workers' Day, and some people it's mostly being organized by Democratic Party affiliates because we don't really have left-wing parties or organizations in the United States. So anyway, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the war powers. I find that
Okay.
to be interesting.
For
And
sure.
the argument that Pete Hegseth is effectively making on this is nonsense. You started a war of aggression. Okay, fair enough. The president gets what, 60 days to go and kill people. That 60 days is supposed to have ended today, meaning the murder of people is supposed to stop today without congressional approval. Hegseth, because all laws and the problem with laws is that they're made in language, and language is a fudgy thing at best. It's like, well, we're not actually murdering people currently. We paused. And so it changes the timeline on the amount of time that we get the murder. So if we reopen and start it, and the rub with that and the problem with that is, right, they could say, well, you get a new timeline when you resume. So if you resume military operations, well, the timeline changes now. Now we've re-upped
Wait,
it.
you
And
get a
so
reset every time? Is there argument?
that's my point, right? Like, meaning the language is so fudgy that you could say, well, the time that we stop killing people should not be included in the 60 days. Or you could say, we get a reset. It doesn't matter what you say, because at that point, you're just inventing, you're manipulating language in order to get to the designated end that you're effectively looking for. That's outrageous. I mean, and then, the wild part about this is, even if this went up for a vote, they may actually get the votes to keep the war going? I mean, I guess that's the other question. Even if they followed the law, do you think that they would get the votes from Congress to allow Trump to continue the war?
I do think they would get the votes. And I think what's interesting is this argument, which is really novel, like from obviously the U.S. Department of Bullshit subdivision of lame excuses, right, is like, oh, we're, you know, we need to come up with some, you know, why is Pete Hegseth making this argument, right? Why not just simply say we have control of the House and the Senate? We can just tell our Republican allies in Congress and, like, you know, de facto like dinos like Pete, like John Fetterman, to just do what we want, and we'll get our, and we won't have to worry about the War Powers Act. And the reason is because this war is so unpopular and this president is so unpopular, and we have a midterm election coming, and a lot of these Republicans in Congress are running scared. So they don't want to vote. What they're afraid of is something that looks like kind of like this, like around September or October, attack ads start running by Democratic opponents to incumbent Republicans saying, like, nuclear confrontation with Iran, American economy in the toilet, this is Donald Trump's war. You know, Congressman Joe Smith voted for Donald Trump's war. Vote against John, you know, that's what they're trying to avoid. And the thing is, they think, oh, well, maybe we'll just do a workaround and claim that the War Powers Act doesn't apply. But obviously, there's nothing that prevents the Democrats from just filing, an emergency injunction in federal court and saying, like, look, we need the Supreme Court to weigh in here, which I think they would. And I think the Supreme Court would rule unanimously against the administration, because the plain language of the War Powers Act is so, it's been adjudicated previously, and it's very clear. And what Pete Hegseth said is plainly nonsense. So, that's what they're scared about. They don't want to just put it up for a vote, because yes, they can get the votes that they want, you know, but the problem is it's going to come at a cost.
That would be amazing if the Supreme Court came back and said the president needs to stop waging war on Iran.
Well, he doesn't have to stop. He just has to go to Congress and get approval.
True. But if you're right, and Democrats are like, hey, I'm not of mind that the Democrats are against the war. I think they just don't like Trump. There's that.
Right.
Two, it is a constitutional crisis if the president makes the argument, hey, we can continue this war because of hashtag reasons, whatever those reasons are. Democrats take them to the Supreme Court, and Supreme Court, without a military, comes back and says, hey, the president needs to stop the war or go to Congress to get approval. And what happens if this president says, yeah, we disagree with the Supreme Court? I mean, that's a whole nother issue, right? Like, will Trump acknowledge and say, well, the Supreme Court is right? Or does the president say, well, look, we disagree with what the Supreme Court is. We're going to take this back to the Supreme Court, and we're going to continue the war while we relitigate this in the Supreme Court. Like, that's a mess. That just gets very messy. Do you think it's the other question?
Oh, well, that is a good question, right? I mean, look, the thing is, what's really dangerous is when you have a president who is determined on a course of action that runs in opposition to the clear language of the law and or the Constitution and or the interpretation by the courts. And, you know, who's going to back down in this game of chicken? And there's that old question, you know, what army or police force does the Supreme Court have? And we know the answer. So I'm terrified that Donald Trump will be backed into a corner in any number of ways. And this could be one of them, where he says, like, basically it's like, he can't just walk away. On the other hand, it just crossed my mind, this might be the best out for Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants an out. He doesn't want to fight this war anymore, right? So he could go to the American people and say, you know, back in the 70s, Democratic Congress passed this terrible law. Nothing I can do. I had my 60 days. And because I'm such a strong believer in the law and the American system and the separation of powers, and I love democracy, I have to stop the war. What can I do? I mean, this is a way out.
I don't know if Democrats would do that, though. That's the rub. That's the rub.
Yeah,
Like, because what pursuant to what you're pointing out, there's a second part to that Trump is going to say. I had Iran beat to death. Their navy was in the bottom of the Persian Gulf. The airfare, you know, there was no air. We had air superiority. We could do whatever we wanted. And Democrats lost the war. If it wasn't for them taking me to court and helping Iran get a nuclear weapon, I would have lost the war. We would have finished the mission. We would have finished the objectives.
Yeah, it's the it's like the 1980s narrative on Vietnam. It's you know, it's Rambo. Like we wanted to fight. They wouldn't let us win. I mean, people believe, there are a lot of people who actually believe that. And in a certain sense, it's kind of true in that, like, look, we weren't going to fight this war for another 30 years. No, we were not going to nuke Hanoi. So you could say, like, okay, there were limitations. Same thing here. We can nuke Tehran if we want. You know, we're not going to, I hope. So yeah, but that would be the narrative. I mean, and look, I think that the secret part that, you know, you're saying out loud is so important. A lot of Democrats like this war. A lot of Democrats have had a hard on for Iran for a long time, and a lot of Democrats will do whatever the fuck Israel wants. And so all of those things mean that if this came up, look, even if you had a major, a 60% Democratic House, I'm not sure that that Congress would deny Donald Trump the right to continue his war against Iran.
Say, I'm just skeptical of it. I mean, granted, they hate him, fair enough.
They do.
But if let's be very honest, if this was Joe Biden, would they be against it? No,
Fuck no.
I
They,
don't
or
think so.
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, or Hillary Clinton. I don't think they
No, they'd
would.
be all about it, or Barack Obama. And so, and I think a lot of them are even under the current circumstances, under this administration with a 33% approval rating, they're still saying, like, well, actually, you know, we don't like Trump, but we hate Iran. So, you know,
Let it ride. And I get the sense, let's be very
it's sort of like
honest.
when I was negotiating divorce with my ex-wife, and we were trying to figure out our finances regarding the LA Times. And my wife said, I hate you, but I hate the LA Times more. You know, it's like that. and clearly, you know, the Democrats in Congress, you know, they like war more than they hate Donald Trump.
Yes, and I suspect it's a bit of double dealing. I mean, like, if your opponent is dying, let him die. Meaning Trump is drowning in this war, and
For
they
sure.
know it. And so it's like, do you really take him to the Supreme Court that may actually do something about it,
Think they
or do you
probably
let him
would.
drown?
Don't you think they probably would? I mean, it's just too clear a separation of powers.
True, but it feels weird to me that the Supreme Court makes a determination on war. I
Well,
mean, maybe it's just me. It just seems
it's
strange.
an interpretation of the War Powers Act. Like,
True.
can the president credibly say, you know, use either this pretext of like, well, there's a ceasefire, so therefore the clock starts ticking again, or I mean, look, honestly, that is not. I think it's a stupid argument. I think it goes counter to the intent of Congress at the time. But you know, I mean, it's not a zero argument. It's
Yeah.
worthy of interpretation by a court. That's what we do in this country. Like when we have a differing opinions of what a law means. And I always thought the, I don't know about you. When I first learned about the War Powers Act, I always thought it was a strange, like, solution to the Vietnam War. It's like, okay, so you're basically, it's 1973, right? The Vietnam War has basically ended. The draft is no more. The Paris Peace Conference has happened. Watergate scandal has begun, and the beginning of the end for Richard Nixon is underway. And this Democratic, very empowered Democratic Congress, at a time when the Vietnam War is massively unpopular and has been lost, says, okay, so our solution to this is not to just to say, the right to declare war and wage war resides with Congress as the founders intended. No, our solution is to say, have at it for 2 months. And then, but after 2 months, you got to come and talk to us. It's weird as shit. I mean, it's not